Hare Krishna. We are all here this evening by the mercy of who? Srila Prabhupada. Who else? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who else? Krishna. Who else? It's a long list. If we keep on saying the names, then we won't be finished. Yeah, we can say in summary, all the Vaishnavas. Therefore, Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yathaf Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangsha. We offer our obeisance to our Guru, to all the Gurus, to all the Vaishnavas, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with all his associates, to Krishna with all his associates, because only by their mercy can we even glorify them. We don't even know how to glorify them without them teaching us. But particularly, we are here by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by Srila Prabhupada. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not come, then jodi gorna hoito tabe ki hoito kemone dharitam de radhar mahima prema rasa shima jagate janatoke. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not come, then how could we have survived? The poet says, Basu Ghosh. Because who but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has the ability to glorify in this world Radha? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is especially teaching or demonstrating the love of Radha for Krishna. We have heard of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's dancing and singing and fainting, and he's praying Yugayatam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravrishayatam Shunyayatam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahename. He's feeling a moment to be like 12 years or more in the ecstasy of separation from Govinda. But that ecstasy that is unparalleled. We don't find any descriptions anywhere else of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his ecstasy. Hare Krishna, may I suggest that you keep photography till later? Now is the time for listening. Shravanam Kirtanam Shutanam, shooting photos. But we don't find that in the nine processes. The first is Shravanam. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasies, we don't find any parallel anywhere. I mean, there are, even in Christian tradition, Jewish tradition, there are descriptions of persons who are considered to be highly advanced in spiritual realization. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he would rub his body against the walls of his room at night, especially he would be feeling separation from Krishna. During the day he would be going here and there taking invitations from his devotees to visit their house and visit the temple. He'd perform sankirtan, but at night he would be alone. For the first part of the night he would be with Sarup Damodar and Rai Ramananda, and they would discuss topics of Krishna. Then toward the end of the night they would go away, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would rub his face against the inside of the wall because feeling pain from separation from Krishna. And then one devotee was kept with him to prevent him from that. This Shankara Pandit was kept with him for that purpose. But still, he was in the room, but then he would go out, and no one could. They couldn't find him. His devotees would come and look for him. Then eventually, they'd find him just collapsed somewhere. He'd just gone out in the night and collapsed in ecstasy of love of Krishna, and sometimes his body. In the ecstasy of love of Krishna, his body would become elongated, and the sandhi, the joints, would become separated. So his arm would be separated from the rest of his body, only the skin. His arms and legs, only the skin would keep them. Or sometimes the other way. All his head, his legs, his arms would go inside his body. That's like a tortoise withdraws its kurmongani vasaravashaha. That's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, that the transcendentalist withdraws his senses, just like a tortoise withdraws its limbs. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would literally withdraw his limbs. Not that he would do it, but just that is the transformations of ecstasy. So he was always singing about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, absorbed in thought of Krishna. And by his mercy, we are here today attempting to grab some drop of his mercy. Now we don't expect to experience ecstasy on the platform that he's experiencing it, because he is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, after all, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayana. He is Radha and Krishna combined. Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. We offer respect to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Is Krishna with the feelings and golden bodily luster of Radha. But he has come to this world for various reasons. One is to lift up the fallen souls and inspire them to take to Krishna bhakti, particularly by chanting the names of Krishna. So that's been going on in the parampara, and we can say particularly by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and of Srila Prabhupada that we are gathered here today. Particularly of Srila Prabhupada also, because if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not come, who would have known anything about this? So in the same way, if Srila Prabhupada hadn't come, who would have known anything about this? Definitely in the Western world, no one would have heard. And even in India, it was just a few people in Bengal and Orissa, actually not a few people, but many people, but mostly no clear idea of who is Krishna. And here I see there are Tamil books and what else? There's Malayalam books and different languages. So who was there in Tamil Nadu who knew anything about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? They didn't know. But now, because of Prabhupada, he went to the West, he came back, and his movement is going everywhere. So it's not just a Bengali culture, Bengali cult or Oriya cult, but it's for everyone. If the Westerners can do it, then definitely the Tamils and the Telugus, they can also. Of course, the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita is that we're not the body at all. And that's mostly what Srila Prabhupada taught. He didn't expect his followers to start swooning as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. In fact, he warned against artificial imitation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We should know what it means. There are two terms. Srila Prabhupada sometimes explicated them. Anukaran and Anusharan. We are meant for Anusharan, following the directions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That means taking shelter of him. That means following his instructions. And the other is Anukaran, which means to imitate. So his directions he has given particularly to Rupa Goswami to compose into a book, which he did as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which gives directions for devotees how they can, first of all, why they should take to devotional service, how they can follow all the rules and regulations, and in this way become advanced. And there's another set of 11 verses, Upadeshamrita, which was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami, which summarizes the whole process. So, Srila Prabhupada, if we see him, it might seem that in some ways he's different to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Maybe you've seen there's a series of films of Srila Prabhupada chronologically following his activities and with recollections by his disciples and others. That's a DVD series called Following Srila Prabhupada that was put together by Yadubha Prabhu and his wife. So that's that gives us an overview of and an inside view of Srila Prabhupada's activities. So you'll see there Srila Prabhupada dancing and singing at Rath Yatra as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. But you'll see him doing some things which we don't find any descriptions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doing. For instance, in that series there's a clip of Srila Prabhupada discussing printing with Rameshwar, actually, one of his disciples, and asking about allocation of funds. And Prabhupada is discussing that, well, if there's the money can be given as a loan, the funds of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust can be given as a loan for purchasing temples, but printing books must come first. So like this, he was discussing the business activities, signing the checks. Now that may seem, well, that's not very spiritual, is it? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the early days, that's described in this book here. In the early days before he took sannyas, then he was sent to the Yogapit temple established by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And some different young people came to listen to him. Some became his disciples. One of them came, spent a few days, and he thought, this Saraswati, he's not very spiritual. I see he's all the time engaged, looking after the accounts and legal matters. This isn't very spiritual. So he thought, what am I bothering with him for? Over the river lives his guru, Gaur Kishore. Better go to him. So he lived with Gaur Kishore for some time, but Gaur Kishore exposed him that he was, because Gaur Kishore didn't handle the money, so the money was handled by this person. The very thing that he had felt critical about towards Saraswati Thakur, he himself became, because people would give Gaur Kishore donations, he wouldn't keep it. So this man was keeping, people would bring all kinds of nice food, and Gaur Kishore wouldn't eat it. But this young Babaji, he would eat it, and he became fat and healthy and all rich food, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bhalo na khaibe or bhalo na paribe. Don't eat well, don't dress well. This is his instruction for the renunciants. So this young man, he was trying to imitate Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, but Gaur Kishore, he didn't give him much importance. And then this young Babaji became exposed for having nocturnal sessions with various women of Navadvip. So he thought he would go very high, but he wanted to imitate Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He didn't want to follow the example of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Now we may say that, well, we should all just sing and dance and, but we see Prabhupada was signing the checks and discussing business. And if you see Srila Prabhupada's letters, they're available, they're collected on the Veda base. Then many of them are about bank deposits, legal matters. You may think, well, that's not very spiritual. But see what Prabhupada did. He spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. We're here by his mercy. If Prabhupada hadn't done all those things, everything that he did, we wouldn't be here today. Of course, the essence of what Prabhupada is teaching is not how to fill up bank forms. He didn't come to the West to do that. But it became necessary for spreading Krishna consciousness in the modern context. An organization is needed for printing books, so much management, collection and disbursement of funds, it's required. This church was bought in Toronto, the center of the ISKCON now, now it's a temple. So obviously lawyers had to be consulted, paid for, and then to remodel the building inside, you have to meet the city council members. So there are many such considerations which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't doing. But Prabhupada did it for the sake of fulfilling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction, Priti Vite Ache Jato Nagara Adigram Sabhatra Pracha Hoibe Marana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that my name will be preached in every town and village of the world. How is that going to happen? Well, someone has to go and do it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the order, Jare Dekho, Tare Koho, Krishna Upadesh, Amaragyai, Guru Hoya, Taro Idesh. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, instruct them in the science of Krishna. On my order, be a guru and deliver this land. So one has to find the ways and means to do that, according to the time, place and circumstance. To even go to the West, please ring the bell quietly, or you just don't ring it at all. This is Bhagavata Marg and Pancharatriki Marg. Those who are intent on Pancharatriki Marg, they ring the bell loudly so that people can't hear the speaking about Krishna, which is more important than ringing the bell, actually. Without doing all these things, without getting a passport, clearance to leave India, passage on the boat, Srila Prabhupada couldn't have gone to the West in the first place. So many, and then a visa for America, so many considerations were there. So all of you also, you had to get a visa to come to Canada, and prior to that, a passport, and so many considerations, probably the health test on you and all this. So Srila, you did all that. I don't think you came here for Krishna consciousness. I don't think so. I think you came here for earning money, basically. That's the reason why you all came here. There may be one or two exceptions. So that would it would seem that Srila Prabhupada was engaged in the same materialistic activities as everyone else. But no, he fulfilled those necessary formalities for the sake of serving Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that he could sing and dance, sing the names of Krishna, dance in Krishna consciousness, and induce others to do so. Without undergoing those formalities, Srila Prabhupada couldn't have done that. Without forming the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, of course he could have called it a different name, but without forming the society ISKCON and the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, he couldn't have spread Krishna consciousness all over the world in the manner that he did do so. So it's not that Srila Prabhupada's a lawyer or a businessman or an accountant. Well, he is in one sense. He's everything for Krishna. That's the point. Everything for Krishna. For serving the mission of Krishna. So we should not imitate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and neither should we think that performing activities which require to be served for fulfilling the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are material. If it's done for Krishna, then it's spiritual. Krishna, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Krishna Sevai Jahoi Anukul Bishoy Balaya Taha Hoi Bhu. What is required for serving Krishna, if we consider that material, that is a mistake. Anasaktasya Vishayan Yataham Upayunjataha Nirvanda Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagyamuchata. This is the principle on which the Krishna conscious movement is being spread everywhere. That without being attached to anything in this world for our own personal sense gratification, we engage everything in Krishna's service. This is called applied renunciation. I've heard this many times. I don't know if it's actually true, but anyway, the spirit of it is correct. That Srila Prabhupada once said that there are some swamis who, if you bring them money, they'll say, no, 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 I cannot touch that. But if you bring me money, I'll take it all and say, give more. Very enthusiastic to take money. Yes, yes, give, give. But why should a swami or someone who's renounced the world be eager to take money? Because he's renounced the world. That's the reason why, because he's completely absorbed in the service of Krishna. So taking money means, first of all, we're by taking money for engaging that in the service of Krishna. So first of all, that helps others, who by giving the money, they will be benefited in doing some service to Krishna. And that will be used for building temples, printing books, so that people can come to Krishna consciousness and be benefited. So the activities of a pure devotee of Krishna at the present time, they may seem to be somewhat different from those of Chaitanya Leela. That must be. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was singing, dancing, crying out for Krishna, discussing scripture and so many things. But he wasn't engaged in pounds, shillings and pence matters, or dollars and cents matters, or legal matters, or any such thing. But he did have assistants who looked after what you might call the more worldly side of what he had to do. He had his secretary, Swarup Damodar, who would screen people before they came to see him. It wasn't that just anyone could just walk in to see him. And he would, Swarup Damodar would arrange all whatever arrangements had to be there. Of course, it was not very complex, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he came to Puri, he was just living there. So there isn't that much to arrange generally. It's a day-to-day routine. But if you're like Prabhupada, he was traveling all over the world, so many things to arrange. Airline tickets and timings, and then what programs they're going to do. And Prabhupada was writing books or arranging for the tapes that Srila Prabhupada was dictating, how that would be sent to the transcribers and transcribed. And Prabhupada, he set up with the help of his certain disciples, he set up a whole system for taking the dictation of Srila Prabhupada. From his dictation, books would come. You see, the dictation, then transcription, then editing of the books, and then the Sanskrit and Bengali script for each verse would be put in with a word-by-word translation. That means that the Bengali and Sanskrit words, they had to be transliterated into English or Roman script. And then each verse was given also in Roman script. And then the design of the book, pictures. So Srila Prabhupada would speak, and after some time his disciples would present him with a book. So that didn't just happen by chance. There was a whole management process required for that, whole organization required for that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also had some organization. He had Swarup Damodar, he had Govinda, who was his personal assistant, who would arrange for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prasadam, feeding him. He would arrange for water to be brought. There were two water bearers, two devotees whose principal service was to bring water, because in those days there were no taps. So the devotees would have to carry, or people, there was one caste of water bearers, they would carry water from the fresh water source and then fill up big jars. I've seen also in some places in India where there's water shortage, so people will fill up the big clay pots when the water is coming in the tap, and then you take bath or whatever you do with the water. In those days, again, there were no taps. So even in India, the taps and the water will come for 1 or 2 hours a day, so then they have to fill it up. But in that time, they'd take from the well. There was Paramananda Puri's well, or they would get water from the different sarovaras or the lakes that were there. So in this way, and then that water would be used for bathing, cleaning the floor, and all these different functions. So Govinda oversaw all of that, and he had a little team with him. So there was some management there also. It's on a more simple level. But the modern world is more complex, and Srila Prabhupada had more involved activities. So everything, whatever is required to serve Krishna should be done. These central activities of Krishna consciousness are Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam. Yeah, those are the basic activities. And then Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. They are attitudes in devotional service. The others are activities in devotional service. So Rupa Goswami has given all of the activities that are to be performed. But to facilitate that and effect that, a devotee has to be expert even in a worldly manner. Because if you're not, then Krishna can't be served properly. Just like you're driving the vehicle to distribute the books or to go to a program, you have to see, is there fuel in it? Is there water in it? If you think, oh, I'm so spiritual, I can't think of these. That's not spiritual. Spiritual means to see how Krishna is served properly. So a devotee requires to be expert materially. We find in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes that one of his devotees was very dear to all of them, very dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vasudev Datta. His attitude was just, well, be Krishna conscious. He was married, but he didn't much look after his family. If he got money, he'd just spend it immediately for the Vaishnavas or whatever. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put Shivananda Sen in charge of Vasudev Datta's family affairs, because Shivananda Sen was very organized. Every year he would organize the party of devotees from Bengal, manage them, gather them all up, bring them together, and take them by walking from Bengal to Orissa. And then on the way, Shivananda Sen would have to deal with all different toll collectors, and he'd have to arrange in all the different places, have to arrange in advance for cooking, and so his whole operation. And there were no cell phones or any phones in those days. They couldn't just catch the Howrah Puri Express and go, but they had to walk, and they'd visit different holy places on the way. So it was a big management operation. Shivananda Sen was quite expert in all these management activities. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put him in charge. You look after Vasudev Datta. He's He's absorbed in bhakti, but he's not looking after his family properly. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though he's a sannyasi, he was seeing even the family affairs of his disciples, how that will... He wasn't oblivious to this world. He saw how the activity for his devotees, his disciples, how they were going on. So Srila Prabhupada also, he made ashrams, temples with ashrams. He wanted to see how his disciples were being looked after. He made arrangements so that the devotees could live comfortably, not luxuriously, but not in a manner that would be so austere that it would disturb the devotees' concentration on devotional service. We find Raghunath Das Goswami, again one of the principal servants of followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was so austere, we can't even imagine living like that. All the six Goswamis, they would just eat extremely little, sleep very little, nidrahara, what is that? Nidrahara vihara kadi vijito. They conquered over eating, sleeping, just frivolous activities. They completely overcame all material activities, so that they were practically eating nothing. Can you imagine eating this just four or five pieces of this channa, this chickpeas, every 2 days, and a little buttermilk every 2 days? This is Raghunath Das Goswami. Every 2 days he'd take a little buttermilk, and then he would chastise himself, see how I'm engaged in sense gratification. But Srila Prabhupada, he gave a different formula. He would cook very tasty items and offer to Krishna and call everyone, come and take prasad. And everyone would come. And in the beginning, there's no philosophy. Srila Prabhupada was speaking it, but it took them a long time to even begin to understand it. In the beginning, there was kirtan and prasadam. And the prasadam was very popular. Most of the devotees came because of the prasadam in the beginning. And still, that's important for everyone. Important, essential for our preaching. That if there's no good prasadam means, why should we say good? If we have two, three chickpeas, that's also good. We shouldn't think this is good, that's not good. But as Srila Prabhupada sometimes said, this prasadam is our special weapon in Kali Yuga, because people are attracted to that. So they can become prasadam addicts, and in this way become attracted to Krishna in that form. Of course, it's not that one should spend one's whole life only coming for the prasadam. One should think how to benefit others also. One should come up from the stage of only thinking of Krishna consciousness in how I can fill my belly with all kinds of nice varieties of prasad. So we see that Srila Prabhupada, while encouraging devotees to take prasad, he would also sometimes warn them that don't be a servant of the tongue, the belly, and the genitals, because one has to rise above that level. Therefore, before taking prasad, we chant Sharira Vidyajal Jarendriya Te Kal Jive file bishoy shagore. We say, we warn by the prayer of Bhaktivinoda. We warn ourselves and warn each other. Be careful. The tongue can drag us to hell. But Krishna has kindly given us this prasadam so that we can take that and conquer over the tongue. But conquering over the tongue, if we see prasad as something material, then we won't get the same benefit as if we worship prasadam. Therefore we also say Mahaprasade Govinde Svalpapunyavatam Raja Vishvasanayavajaita. We state that this prasad, Mahaprasad, Govinda's Mahaprasad, only very pious people can have faith in that. Otherwise other people may say, well, it's just food. Actually, many times we see that in a reverse way people have faith in prasadam. That sometimes, I don't know about here, but in India, if we try to give Muslims prasadam, say, no, 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 they won't take. So in a reverse way, they have faith. Because if it was just food, then why should they bother? But they think that... I remember not so long ago in Bangalore, I was in a hospital. I spent too much time in hospitals in the last few years. And I had some prasad in my bag. There was a young Muslim boy. He was only about 8 years old. So his father had gone off for some check or something. So I gave him some prasad. I tried to give him something. He looked horrified. From such a young age, he had reverse faith in prasadam. He wouldn't take it. So they think that, I don't know what they think. I think they say there's something of Satan or some very strange ideas they have. So they're so unfortunate. They have faith that it's not ordinary food, but in the wrong way. So, anyway, the point is, we should know the difference between following and imitating. We shouldn't think that whatever is required for serving Krishna, we shouldn't think that that's material. We shouldn't, if devotees have to have meetings and form committees and all this and that for serving Krishna, that is not material. But at the same time, it's not the essence of devotional service, so we shouldn't become so absorbed in that that we don't properly engage in hearing and chanting about Krishna and preaching Krishna consciousness. All these things, these meetings, money matters, legal matters, these are all to facilitate Krishna consciousness, but the essence of the is hearing and chanting about and preaching Krishna consciousness. So in Krishna consciousness, good management is that by which we are able to expertly do all these matters in the minimum amount of time, without neglecting anything, doing everything very efficiently, without neglecting anything, and engaging a maximum time in hearing and chanting about and preaching about Krishna, and worshipping the deities and all these activities. Hare Krishna. That's all I'll say for now. Shortish speech, we came a little late. So if anyone has any question about this important subject matter, it's important to understand these points, not to have misconceptions. And, so if anyone has any question about that, so you can please ask about this. Yes?
Sometimes we do perform all types of devotional service, and like you said, practical things, driving the van or keeping the books, the records, and it sounds spiritual, but it doesn't necessarily feel spiritual, but we know it is spiritual. How do we reconcile?
Doesn't feel spiritual. Well, we should know that management activities, they may not feel spiritual, but they are. Just like cleaning the floor for Krishna might not feel spiritual, but it is. So it requires purification of consciousness to understand that it is actually spiritual. Therefore we have to hear about Krishna so that we can do it in the spirit that Krishna recommended to Arjuna, Mama Nusmara Yudhyacha. Think of me and fight. The thinking of Krishna is mentioned first. Arjuna was not allowed to get out of the fighting. Of course, he could have chosen not to, but if he was to follow Krishna, then he had to fight. So, but thinking of Krishna comes first. Arjuna he wanted only to think of Krishna. I'll go away, you be here on the battlefield, I'll go away and think of you. But Krishna, he said, no, you can think of me, that's very good, but you have to fight also. So the hearing and chanting about Krishna, that directly focuses our consciousness on the subject that it should be focused on, which is Krishna. And in that consciousness, we have to perform all kinds of activities that are necessary for serving Krishna's mission within this world. So it shouldn't become imbalanced that we spend all day performing activities which are devotional service, but they're not, we could say they're not the core activities. They're not the core activities. What that means is, if we are cleaning the temple for Krishna, keeping the accounts for Krishna, that's all devotional service. Prabhupada said that management in Krishna consciousness is archan. It's the same as deity worship. It's worshipping Krishna. But it's not the core activity, because so many people do management and floor cleaning, but they have no connection with Krishna. That we do the management in Krishna's service makes it Krishna's service, but it's not in and of itself Krishna's service. Whereas hearing and chanting about Krishna, if performed under the guidance of pure devotees, and which means according to the system given in Shastra, then that is purely spiritual. So, apparently material activities in Krishna's service, they are spiritual. And there's another level of spiritualized activities, activities which have no direct, they're not even for the sake of serving Krishna very directly at all. Just like you may keep the accounts for Krishna's society, but then you may go and keep the accounts for some company, which has got nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. But because you're doing that, you're a devotee, and you're doing that to maintain a family who you guide in Krishna consciousness, and from the income you offer some of that, or actually as much as you can, in Krishna's service, then that is called a spiritualized activity. So there are various levels, but they're all connected to Krishna depending on our level of consciousness. That's all. So we should have good, solid hearing and chanting about Krishna. And then if everything that we do, if it's done under the guidance of pure devotees solely for Krishna's pleasure, that all becomes non-different from the core activities. So if it doesn't feel like it's spiritual, that's a lacking on our part, which is to be overcome by advancement in Krishna consciousness.
Okay, thank you. This leads to another question that comes up. When Krishna says you should think of me and fight at the same time, what is the exact meaning of that? Does that mean we should work and meditate on the Murti or the name? Or
think of me and fight, what does that mean for us? Should we think of the Murti? Well, no. You may think of Krishna in his deity form, but we should, it may be that you're even not directly thinking of Krishna. If you're absorbed in scrubbing a pot clean, you might not be directly thinking of Krishna. You'll be looking at the black spot and thinking how to get it off. But the underlying consciousness is, I have to get this clean for Krishna's pleasure. Why should we cook anything in a pot? This has to be used again for cooking for Krishna. And why should we cook in a pot which is not spotless? Only the best thing should be given to Krishna. So in that, because the underlying consciousness is that I'm doing this for Krishna, then it's fully spiritual. Fully Krishna conscious. Anything else? You want to say it in the mic? Or everyone can hear you. Yes, and then I'll repeat it in the mic here. Well, saying the name of Hari is good. Should we say Haribo? Well, actually, those who are in the positions of gurus, they can say to their disciples, they can order them to chant, or anyone else can encourage anyone else to chant. But it may not be so appropriate for juniors to say to their gurus, because they take the position of instructing their senior, which should not be done. Okay, there could be so many questions, so let's, unlimited questions. If there's anything else related to the class, I take maybe one or two more questions and then finish, because it's getting late.
Thanks so much. Whereas I wanted to understand, in the context of Krishna saying that when somebody offers me anything with love, I accept it. So if...
Looks like we're going off the subject of the class. Okay, say it, and then I'll finish this. Yeah.
And if the offering is made without too much love...
Without too much love. There can't be too much love.
Okay,
an offering is made without too much love. We have a loveometer. How much is it? 70%, 50%?
So with no love, just for the show.
Just for show. Well, Krishna can know whether it's just for show or not.
I understand that. My question really is, if it's not offered in the right consciousness, does it still become prasadam after?
Does it become prasadam if it's not offered in the right consciousness? That's up to Krishna.
Okay.
But he says, if one offers me with Priti Purvakam, with love, and Payatatmanaha, one who's following all the rules and regulations, then I accept it. So, that Krishna says that suggests that those who don't offer it with love, if they have any ulterior motive, then Krishna doesn't accept it. Straightforward, isn't it? So, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai!
That was an enthusiastic jai. Hare Krishna.